So we're also interested in folks who are watching the elections going on in India. We've been talking about South Asia all hour long. And actually, a few moments ago, we were reminded of the picture yesterday of Hamid Karzai, Barack Obama, and Asif Ali Zardari, the president of Pakistan, projecting a democratic front in meetings at the White House. But perhaps the most profound pictures of democracy in South Asia come from India, where polling stations are open today. It's India's marathon five-phase election. Phase four begins today. Delhi is one of the key battlegrounds. Millions of voters will cast their ballots today. And if you're here in New York or around the United States following the election, we'd love to have your analysis at 877-8MYTAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org. But coming back with us is Meera Kamdar, senior fellow at the World Policy Institute and associate fellow of the Asia Society. She's author of Planet India, The Turbulent Rise of the Largest Democracy and the Future of Our World. So the future of our world is, in a sense, at stake, or at least one-fifth of the world in the polling stations in India even today. Right, Meera?
Well, yes, it is, and it's a white heat. Absolutely no one knows what the outcome of this election is going to be.
And that's because neither of the main parties are going to get a parliamentary majority, and there are hundreds of smaller parties in the election. So the formation of a coalition is really about as elaborate as, some fabrics you could probably buy in the bazaars there in Delhi.
Yeah, I mean, it's a complex, dynamic, multicultural country, and the political system has more and more come to resemble that. Every election is more complicated than the one before, and this one is no exception. It really is going to be difficult for one of the major parties, the BJP or the Congress, to cobble together enough support to hit that magic 272-seat number to take power.
Now, the credibility, the historical, traditional historical credibility of the Congress party is really off the table. The kind of religious issues that really were behind the BJP's rise are not really as relevant this time around. Is it the economy, stupid?
It is totally the economy, stupid. I mean, it's interesting, given all that's going on in the region. We just, you know, had the segment on what's going on right next door to India. This is really not an issue in this election. It's bread and butter issues. Let's not forget that it's the poor in India that vote. So the poorer you are, the more likely you are to vote. And for the poor in India, 46% still living, according to the World Bank, on less than $1.25 a day. It's about food. It's about jobs. It's about housing. It's about education for their children.
So what is the credibility of successful business people in India? In the United States, of course, you can say credibly that I've been successful in business and you get elected to Congress or even the Senate. Is that not the case in India?
That's absolutely not the case in India. You have to sort of make the case that you're a friend of the common man, what's known as Aam Aadmi. That is the theme that all the sort of line that all the parties try to toe when it comes to election time.
This is a much more general question, but I remember my mother years ago working with a number of people from India, and the common language they had was English, because there are so many languages, so many religions, so many regions. The whole idea of doing this kind of election in batches fascinates me. What are the upsides and downsides of that?
Well, it's really just a pragmatic necessity. You have more than 700 million eligible voters. More than 400 million are expected to vote across the country. And just simply to coordinate that in a situation where in many regions half the people are illiterate, for example, it just wouldn't be possible to pull it off on one day.
But I love the fact that the population of people actually voting in this five-phased election exceeds the entire population of the United States, with about 200 million to spare.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
Amazing. It is really,
pretty impressive.
Really amazing.
In South Africa, there were, actions and ballots to make sure that there were photographs to deal with the issue of illiteracy. What's being done with the balloting to help people who can't read?
Well, every party has a symbol. And so people know to identify, that symbol with X symbol with X party. And then the system of voting in order to make sure that people don't vote twice or that, just one person, one vote, an indelible ink mark is put on the finger so that, everybody is clear as to who voted.
We saw that a lot in Afghanistan.
Right. Barack Obama, in speaking with Pakistan's leader yesterday, says that the U.S. has an interest in a democratic, healthy, secure Pakistan. That's a difficult argument to make in Pakistan, but there is a secure, democratic set of institutions in India. What is the U.S. interest in the outcome of this election as you see it, Meera?
Well, you know, first of all, we have a huge interest in just the fact that India is there as an example in the region of a country that is able to change its government peacefully by the will of the people. It's kind of a rarity in South Asia. So there's that. In terms of the actual outcome, if it's one of the two major parties at the head of a coalition, you know, the policy toward the United States is not really going to change that much. The left, the sort of third way, which I think is a real long shot, though they may be in a position to form one of the two coalitions led by either the BJP or the Congress, they have pledged to do away with the nuclear deal, do away with the U.S.-India agricultural agreement.
The nuclear deal is the nuclear technology cooperation agreement that was signed at the end of last year, I believe.
In December of last year. Yeah. It's considered the one foreign policy success of the Bush administration, you know, in a sort of landscape of debacle. And so the left in India, which quit the Congress party over that issue and almost brought the government down, has pledged to do away with that. But I think it's a long shot they'll come to power.
Well, certainly the issue will be on the table, depending on how the votes get counted, and they will be counted between now and the 16th of May, and that is when an outcome will be clear, and we will be back to talk about that when it does happen. Meera Kamdar, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
She's a senior fellow at the World Policy Institute and associate fellow of the Asia Society. Her book is Planet India, The Turbulent Rise of the Largest Democracy and the Future of Our World.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.